Hello, listeners. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman with Very Best of Living. I'm with Kat Larson. How are you?
Good morning, afternoon, evening. I don't even know what time it is. Hello.
You're ever present. Ever present.
Ever present. Yes.
We love being with all our listeners. It's always fun. This is a very, very, Kat and I just enjoy each other and we enjoy you. So, and we appreciate your comments. We've been hearing feedback from lots of different sources. And so we always love to hear from you. So thank you for being on this journey with us. This is about mental health, right? About life.
Yep.
And we try and tie in some personal stories as well as events that are happening in the world that we're living in, and then basic solid mental health truths where we come from. So Kat, do you have any questions you want to start with or no?
Yeah, I do. So today, our topic, I'm going to weave my question in with our topic today.
Oh, great. Okay? Yep. On self-awareness. Yeah.
So today, our topic is about self-awareness and awareness. And you recently were out of the country in Mexico. And I was wondering if you experienced or, you know, were aware of something that is around that topic with people there or what happens to you or being out of the country or Mexico, because I think you feel different when you're in places like that, don't you?
Well, yes, you do. You do. But I have to be honest. So where we went is a palace, and there are maids and chefs. And and our wonderful friends that we've known for years treat you so well. It's almost frightening. So we really don't ever leave the property, because to leave there
is like, why do we go
anywhere? But what I love about this was we met these people. He was at his attorney's house, and they found the book, The Color Code. And he's from Chicago, and he called me to come down and spend a week with my wife. And my wife said immediately, being blue, he's a guy from Chicago and he has a place in Mexico. We're not going to Mexico with a mobster. That is not happening.
Jimmy Hoffa's buried there.
Yeah,
be careful.
Exactly. Exactly. What are you thinking? So literally, you'll love this. I put him off. He's a total red. Oh, he's the best. He goes, I want you to know I love this work very much, but you have some problems you need to fix. It's so classic red. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, well, and the test in the book, you have, you know, A is red, B is blue, C is white, and D is yellow. So people can cheat.
Yeah.
They can line it up the way they want to. And I said, yeah. And he goes, why would you do that? Like, you need to mix it up so they don't know what they're doing. And I said, well, why would someone want to cheat about who they are? So that started our friendship. And so for 2 years, I put him off. I said, well, because my wife wouldn't go. So I kept saying, I'm busy. And I was busy, but not that busy. Finally, the third year, he says, any week next year, when can you come? So So we went. And we've gone probably, I don't know, 20 times over the years.
No.
Just this incredible friendship has evolved from this. So when we go there, it's really, really, very magical. And what I've noticed this time, one of the things we share is tennis. We both love it. He's the red man I talk about that when I play him, he'll beat me. He's that good. Consistently, except when I said, now we're just going to hit the ball. We're not going to keep score. We're just going to hit the ball. And I'm the guest, so he has to do it, which he doesn't want to do because he wants to keep score. That's what reds do, right? He gets so frustrated. I can see it in his body language. He's so irritated, walking around picking up balls. Like, there's no point. Like, we're not even doing anything. And then when I know he's really at the edge, I go, okay, now let's play. And I beat him. So anyway, what I noticed this time, which is very interesting and kind of heartwarming and saddening, he can no longer play. Now, he is 91 years old. 91. 91. Unbelievable man. Just remarkable. And at 91, he's no longer able to do it because of his hands. But he said, and so I thought back, isn't it interesting, the incredible matches we've enjoyed through all the years we've known each other would not have happened had we not done them when he could. So in terms of perspective from last week, we talked about this and awareness.
Yes.
What are the things you love to do? Please do them. Don't put them off. Don't wait. Don't wonder. Don't fear. Go do what you want to do. Because if you don't do it, you will find there's a time when you no longer can or you're no longer interested in doing it. And so that was a really, real big awareness for me when I was down there. Can't. I think about travel.
You almost make me want to hang up right now and leave and go do what I want to do because now I feel like, okay, I got to go. Bye.
Okay, just a half an hour. Just wait one half hour and then go do it. And that is you. That is you. You are spontaneous. So lots of things, just lots of things. Please, like that. I love that concept. What's your list? What are the things you want to do? And check them off. Like, go live this life abundantly and freely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big awareness.
For sure. And find a way to do it. Because, you know, I talk to people about that. And it's like, well, I can't do it. You know, I have a job. I got to make money. And it's interesting that setting of intention.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I know sometimes that seems a little, you know, out there. But I do think setting your intention on things and living and saying, okay, if I want to do this,
right,
how do I get there?
Right. Right?
It's not like I can, you know, jump and go to, you know,
right,
I don't know, the Bahamas, right, tomorrow or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
But I could set it up and I could work towards that. So I think it's realistic no matter where you are in life.
And frankly, I love what you just said just in terms of working towards something. To me, that's half the fun.
Yes.
Like, honestly,
it is.
I love that, setting that goal and having that in your mind and living for that moment. I honestly think that's half the fun of the trip, is planning that way. Or whatever it might be.
Yes.
Whatever the journey might be, right? Okay, let's talk about it this way. What habits have you created that make your living your best life easier? Like, I love this concept. What? Because I see clients all the time that will come in and they do things that I'm like, if I did that, I would have a hard time living. I mean, I would struggle in my life if I did what you do. Habits they have. For example, I'm so angry at my mom and how she treated me. I mean, no human being should be treated like I was treated. And I'm like, okay, but you're 45 years old. Well, it doesn't change what was done. And you know as well as I do, what happens to you when you're a child colors you the rest of your life. And I'm sitting there going, do you know what I say to people like that? I want you to know that at 18, whatever your mom did, it's done. Take the ball and go home. Create a life that's yours, not your mom's. But at 45, this person is just berating their mother and the damage that was done. 25 years, they've carried this baggage that is not really even appropriately theirs. Or I see people that say, I'm stupid, therefore I can't. Or people that say, I'm overweight, therefore I can't or shouldn't. Drugs. I see people doing drugs. And I'm like, all you're doing is fighting yourself. You're making it difficult for yourself to be your best self. So those are the kind of things I'm asking. What are the things you do that block you from living your best life? What are the habits you've created that enhance living your best life?
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the people you run with. Like, if you run with people that are damaging, why are you with them? What are you doing? Right? You have to carry their baggage and yours. And then the people you run with that are uplifting and positive, do you throw them out of your life, or do you not show up so they discard you? You know what I mean? So what are the habits?
It's interesting. I think these conversations, and I think in different places in life, I remember, you know, talking to both my kids in high school.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't run with, I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm just like, when you look at high school and the way it's structured,
yes,
it's everywhere.
Yes.
You know, popular kids,
yep,
not popular,
yep,
kids, right?
Right.
And a lot of time and energy is wasted on how come I'm not a popular kid.
100%.
And when you look at the popular kids, and this was always my conversation with my kids, and I don't know if it was wrong or right, but it was like, they're not popular because they're kind and inclusive and
right,
happy. You know, there are some of those kids, don't get me wrong, but they're not. You know, that doesn't, you know, it's not all the
best people,
inclusive and fun loving and happy best people in that popular crowd. It's just a weird, I don't even know what it is. Who
yep,
knows how they get there, right?
Yep.
Like, other for what dynamic?
Absolutely right.
And that is, as you go through life, it's very interesting to look at that and say, you just said, like, who you hang with so affects who you are.
100%.
In so many ways.
Well, and especially for young people. Like that's,
yes,
that's kind of their world for sure. Yep. I agree with that.
Gosh.
And I do think you're right about that, that if I'm seeking people who are image conscious, that tells you something about
yes,
me. I have to own that. Like, the
yes,
reality is, why am I so interested in being with people who look flashy or rich or whatever, right? And
yeah,
in high school, it's a very, very limited perspective. And so you are right about that. When life is like when you get out of high school and you go to college or you go to, you know, you get married and have kids or whatever, who you are as a real person becomes far more significant than where you sat for lunch and what you sports you played.
No, for sure.
Right? So,
yes, but it's a big conversation with kids,
and
especially these days and social media, and we've kind of talked about that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
and bringing that awareness that I don't know why it's this tunnel vision of I only see it right now.
Right.
I mean, because it is painful. I get it.
Yeah,
you're sitting alone at the lunch table.
100%.
You're not part of something you want to be a part of. It is painful.
Nope, very much so. It's a difficult time.
Yeah.
I honestly think you gain a lot of adversity and challenge by going through high school. I mean, it's not an easy time for most people, I think. So
yeah.
I'm glad I was kind of oblivious. I just was so yellow. I didn't know all that
Me
stuff
too.
Was going on, right? But I can see people that
I was that way also.
If you're more aware, it's almost harder, I think, than if you're less.
It is.
But I think in life, like think about who you run with and what are the habits? Like a habit of, like I know people that show up literally 10 minutes early for whatever they do. That's who they are. And then I know people who are constantly late. They're never on time. And when you say to that person, maybe it's driving the marriage crazy, right? I say, why don't you just know that from now on you show up 10 minutes early? And they look at you like with these dead eyes, like, what are you talking about? How's that even possible? And I'm like, it's not rocket science. It's not that difficult. You're just choosing a habit that causes havoc in your marriage. Why are you choosing that? Well, if you understand, I do all the work. I have to get the kids here. It's me. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't. You're literally choosing a bad habit that sabotages the quality of your marriage. Is that really what you want to be about? So I think it's kind of a fun exercise. I'm just suggesting people that are listening to think about this. Like, what are my good habits? Like eating properly, maybe running with good people, maybe taking time for reflection, maybe commitments, you follow through on goals that you set. What are my bad habits? What are the things that I'm doing that are preventing me from my biases towards people, whether it's racially or economically or the drugs I might allow myself to be taking I shouldn't? Those kinds of issues, those questions, that one, the good habits and what are the bad habits, would be a great discussion, I think, for people. Think about.
I think so too, because this year I do this one word thing. You know, it's just kind of what I do. I don't know. It helps me as a yellow keep something like my management, my post-it notes, because I put things on post-it notes.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, 116 of them on my computer.
Yeah, exactly.
But this year it was a phrase, and it was, don't be oblivious. And because I can get so wrapped up in action and I leave people behind because I'm having fun.
Yes.
And that oblivious piece is that I get irritated when somebody makes me stop when I'm on a track.
Yep.
It's like, you know, come on.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so that obliviousness stops me. And, you know, I've been oblivious in my life to people and their needs and what they're doing, and I'm kind of discarding them because they were taking too long.
Yes.
So it's interesting as you're talking about awareness that sometimes things like that they just might be cheesy or you might think they set you up for failure, but sometimes one word is interesting to look at in terms of awareness for a whole year.
I like it very much.
Because
it holds you accountable.
It gets you in a habit.
Yes, it's a habit you're creating, which is really cool. And I love the accountability. I said this word, right? So I have to be true to it, right?
Yes.
So it's like when I wear that shirt that says, be kind to others. And you just have to be kind when you're wearing it. You can't be mean because people are, hello, what are you saying? You're wearing it.
So are there days you choose not to wear that shirt? You can be a jerk. I'm not wearing that today.
There are days. Well, actually, I don't plan that far in advance. But what's really sad is when I'm wearing the shirt and I realize, oh, you got to be patient. Just back off here. I know. But I do like the intention concept that you had there. That was really good. And I also like the idea that people, when I work on being like red, positive, red people appreciate me because I'm validating them. When I work on being more compassionate, blue people, they validate me. They appreciate it, right? So really, how do you lose in doing what you're doing. You're working on your limitations, and in doing so, you're embracing some other color's gifts. That's so smart. It's so healthy. And it does.
Yeah, and there's some form of that for everybody, right?
Absolutely.
There's some form of that for everybody.
Absolutely. If you don't have any of those ideas of what they might be, ask your spouse or ask your parent, and they could tell you. Somebody will know what you could be working on if you want to know. But just don't get angry at them when you do. So, for example, on the character profile, I'll never forget this. This woman had her kids do it on her, and they listed all the positives and all the negatives. And she was a mess for a month. I mean, she could not get over that they thought things. And I said, I know those things, and I'm not your kid. Why would they not know those things? But she just did not want to believe or see those things about herself. So I love that you're open to that. You want to know that kind of stuff. It makes your life more meaningful.
I might have to do that just for fun.
Can you believe that after all I've done, you said that?
That's right. Do you not remember 1983 Christmas?
Yes.
When?
100%. That's exactly right. Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's so good. That all this awareness comes under, and you know, with the EQ stuff, I think, I believe you said that, or I believe the way it works is that as we look at the colors and they line up with all of the, four of the colors line up with some of those EQ traits.
Right.
But self-awareness is not owned by any color. Is that correct?
100% true.
Okay.
Yep. No color owns that one. So all have the capacity to get it, and they all have the effort to have to make to get it. You know, it's funny. When I ask people sometimes, what's your favorite quote? My favorite quote in all the world is by W.H. Murray, and he led the Scottish Himalayan expedition. And I just discovered from my DNA that I'm 44% Scottish. So therefore, I can own this one. I know. I didn't know that. I had no idea. So it says, what he says in there in essence is this: until one is committed, there is hesitancy. In the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too, and all sorts of things happen to help what otherwise would never have occurred. Now, that concept of awareness, that once you truly do say, I'm making this happen, then providence moves too, like other things come to your aid to make it happen. So I was thinking one time about the idea of living together with people or marriage. Committing to marriage or living together. And a lot of people would say to me, well, living together makes more sense because I kind of get a sense of who you are and what you're about. And I have to admit, it made sense to me. Like I listened to that and I said, yeah, you're right. And if you've been burned before, you're thinking about probably a better thing to do, to get to know the person first. So then a study came out and the study reversed the thinking entirely. The study said, marriages that start with commitment and marriage are far more successful than marriages that evolve from living together. And as I read the article, I said, oh my gosh, there it is. It said that unless you really commit, it's easy to pull back, easy to have hesitancy. Isn't that interesting? So even in the marriage, the concept, it's like if you can't really get your arms wrapped around committing to something, then you're going to have hesitancy. And I think that's what we're talking about here, Kat, like the idea of getting aware. Like your idea of your phrase and your word, my thinking about your habits in life. What is it you're going to commit to? What do you really want to be all about? And then you'll see other elements come to aid you in succeeding at that.
Yeah, those are really great action steps. I think I think the self-awareness thing has to come with, you know, what you said, like, you've got to sit down. You've got to ask for input. You can't just kind of do this in your brain over and over again. It has to be, don't you think, input on like self-awareness? I can't just sit there and go,
no.
I got to ask somebody.
Yes.
I got to ask somebody.
We lie to ourselves. We sleep with ourselves. So we have to let things go. And we lie to ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to reach out to somebody and say, what do you think? How do you see this? That's really cool. I really like that.
All right.
So I know. That's what it's about.
I'm just kidding.
So Oh my gosh.
And people are always willing to give you feedback, by the way.
Well,
unless
core
motive.
I was going to say, if you're red, they're probably not going to tell you. But if you're blue, they might not tell you because you're going to get them for the rest of their lives. If you're yellow or white, people are thrilled to tell us. They have no problem giving us feedback. But I do think how we ask the question does make a difference. I do think that's true. And by the way, there's also some good insight people will give you. Like they'll say good things you didn't think about. They'll give you credit for things you didn't give yourself credit for, which is kind of cool. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, right?
Right. No, exactly. So, hear people say, like what you said about, I have a phrase or a word for you. And that's very, very healthy. I love the concept behind that. I've also heard other people say things like, for example, every night, three things: forgive people that hurt you, pray for those who need it, and thank God for everything you have. I mean, those are great. What a great way to lie down after the end of the day and be able to forgive people, be free of that, and then pray for those who need help, right? And then be grateful for all that you have. I know that the concept of being gracious is something that has evolved in my life. I don't think I was necessarily gracious at all growing up. I just kind of took life for granted, like what it was. But today, I notice people that are gracious. I notice their appreciation for what they have and how they have it. I did, by the way, you mentioned Mexico. I did notice the graciousness of the Mexican workers that I engaged. It was very touching to me. There's a graciousness that I often think people who have less have more of than people who have more. Mm-hmm. So I think that looking at how we are aware of ourselves and our situations, I always say to people, for example, that are struggling in life, so tell me the happiest year of your life. When were you at your best? When were you glad you were alive? And their eyes light up. Like they'll tell me this time or whatever was going on. And then I say, so what were you all about then? Well, tell me about you. What were you doing? What were you thinking? And then I'll say to them, okay, so what of that are you still doing? And it's interesting. People that are happy and engaging and fulfilled are doing good things that are what's making that happen. It's not just the events outside of them. It's themselves. And so...
Oh, gosh. So good, Taylor.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we use the color code concept with athletes in the tool, that the Edge 4 tool. And that is one of the things, is just being defined as an athlete and getting everything that you get when, you know, some of these kids start off in second grade, and that's their persona and who they are and what they get attention for. And, you know, and when it ends for a large percentage of them, either after high school or for sure after college, because not very many people go on to pro, right? It's a really tough transition and redefining who they are and what you're talking about. And it applies everywhere. I mean, we should be doing that all the time. You know, we're empty nesters this year, redefining ourselves as not just parents now.
Yes.
I mean, we're still parents, but
you're not
doing it all day.
No, that's a great insight. If you can't transition, you may have been great at one point and you're not great anymore. That's a very
that's
good
right.
point. Like people that are great single, but they're not good married. They don't transition.
Yes.
I mean, no, I like the transitioning concept. And especially when you've been defined and especially defined successfully before.
Yes.
That's even harder, I think. It reminds me of that quote. Smart people learn from everything and everyone. Average people learn from life experiences. They have to live it. They can't learn it from elsewhere. And stupid people already have all the answers. That's Socrates. And I think I've come to realize there are no stupid people. There are only insecure people. And so in his phraseology, I would say insecure people can't admit they don't have the answers. And so they don't let you give them insight. And hopefully our listeners are thinking, so who can I learn from? Who could give me some insight that I could grow from instead of me having to do it all myself? I talked to a young man the other day. He's such a great guy, and he has been at odds with his family since birth. He's the one boy that didn't do well in school. He's the one boy that didn't want to stay in their religion. He's the one boy that was not, that would argue issues of the day. And I said, mm-hmm. So you're now, like, you're 40 years old. Like, are you done? Like, do we still have to keep that going on? Is that bad boy a challenging, proving yourself? Or can you grow into some graciousness? Can you evolve into being smarter and not being so insecure? Like, you have to prove yourself as legit. You are legit. Mm-hmm. And he was mm-hmm. stunned. Like, he honestly sat there and thought very openly. He said, I have never considered that I could change how I have done my life. I just thought I had to prove everything forever. And I said to him, that's a heavy burden to carry. That may be why you're drinking. There may be a reason that you're choosing a path that's self-destructive, because you just need pause. There's just too much pressure on yourself. So for wow. those of our listeners that are just not enjoying the quality of life they could have, you might want to ask yourself, am I just too insecure to allow others' insights to help me grow? Am I just too unwilling to make myself vulnerable and receptive?
You know, gosh, and maybe we could, you know, pick this up next time, but recently I've been thinking about that we are always wrongly given singular praise to people, the best athlete, the best this, the best yes. that, the smartest.
Yep.
And what happens is that we forget that our true greatness to me, when you're talking about this, mm. you just said it, like other people helping me, that's when we really get to our true greatness. I can't do that on my own.
Yes.
I need Taylor Hartman. I yes. need Paco Larson. I yes. need my friends to get to my true greatness. And it's almost like people feel like that's a bad thing.
Yep.
If I need you to get to my greatness.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Don't you think?
Oh, I think it's
in our world today.
Powerful insight. I think it's so sad that we think we are less great because others helped us get where we are. that's tragic.
Right.
But it is true. You're right about that.
Let's start there.
Yeah. Let's
start there.
Well, and isn't it also true that if you can actually enhance someone else becoming something, isn't that actually a greater win than yourself? Like, seeing your kids evolve, I'm sure for you, is far more important than you're evolving. I mean, it's kind of a cool moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a letter from a kid that was literally, he was going nowhere. I mean, it was just a sad story. And I love this kid. Oh, my gosh. And they moved literally across country for him to go to a private school. He became mm-hmm. such an incredible leader. And he wrote me, I just got this last night, a text that said, how are you? And I wrote back and I said, I'm doing great. I can't believe I just heard from you. That's great. And he said, I've decided to become a psychologist. And I said, what an amazing story you're going to have to tell. And he goes, and I'm becoming one because of you. And I'm telling you, Kat, that moment in my mind was more tender than any of the classes I took for me. Hearing that from somebody else and knowing what he'll be able to do, just an amazing, so I like what you said. I like the connection with people being part of our story, not being just all about us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that awareness. So,
all right.
I like this.
It's fun. We have a good time.
I got a lot to think about.
All right. Me as well. Loved it. It was great. Listeners, you're the best. We appreciate you every single time. We will see you next week. Kat, thanks so much again. Bye for now.
Thanks, Taylor.
Hey, Color Code family, it's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.